turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. And we're just going to kind of sit there. The message this morning, there's an awful lot of scripture. So in a lot of the cases, I will just give the reference. We probably won't look. And in some cases we will. But for the sake of time, we'll try to keep things flowing because we wouldn't want anybody to miss out on a muffin. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have today to preach from your word. We're thankful that, Lord, your word is truth. And, Lord, you've given it to us to light our way, to guide our path. And Lord, we just ask now as we look at this subject today, it's not always a pleasant subject, but it's your subject today, and we just ask God that you would work through your word, stir our hearts, Lord, to realize that we do have an enemy, and we do have a battle, and we are in a battle. And Lord, we just know that you are with us through whatever we go through, and we're thankful for that. God, we just ask your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've titled this message, Know Your Enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I can conclude from that statement that Satan hates us. As Christians, he hates us. And he's seeking who he may devour. The meaning of the word Satan, it means accuser. He is the one, this is one of the titles of the enemy of God. Let's look at some of his names and titles. Satan is also called the devil, the dragon, the evil one, the angel of the bottomless pit, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, Apollyon, Abaddon, Belial, Beelzebub. Satan and the devil are the most common names we know him as, though. And they are the ones most often used. I don't want to focus on Satan, but to know your enemy, you have to know your enemy. But the Bible does say that we should not be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we won't turn there. So we should understand enough about him to defeat him. First thing we need to talk about is his origin. He was created by God, according to Colossians 1, verse 16. He was created by God. He was an exalted angel, according to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 to 14. He was called Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14, 12. Lucifer means shining. We can only imagine how beautiful Lucifer was when God created him. He was lifted up with pride and sinned. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 and 16. Isaiah 14, 13. And 1 Timothy 3, 6. He became the enemy of God and man. Genesis chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians 11:13. He became the enemy of God and man. Let's look a little bit about his personality. The Bible does not portray Satan as an evil influence only, but as an evil person. Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. John 8, 44. Satan's character. He is a liar. There's no truth that proceedeth from his mouth. Now, he can mix truth with partial truth, half truth, some truth, but it's not all truth. Nothing of truth comes out of his mouth. According to John chapter 8. Let's just turn quick to John chapter 8. There's a couple of them here that we'll look at. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. So he is a liar, according to John chapter 8. He is a murderer, according to John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer halfway, a third of the way through. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So he's a liar. He's a murderer. He's proud. 1 Timothy 3:6 will tell us that, but we won't turn there. He's a deceiver. Revelation 12:9. We're open, hopefully still at Revelation 12:9 there. And we'll just read that real quick. And the great dragon was cast out of that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So he's a deceiver, a liar, a murderer. He's proud. He's a deceiver. And of course, according to Matthew 13:19, he is a thief. He's a liar, a murderer, proud, a deceiver, a thief. And he loves to destroy, according to 1 Peter 5:8. So he's a liar, a murderer. He's proud. He's a deceiver. He is a thief. And he loves to destroy. That's who Satan is. That's our enemy. That's who we're at constant odds with. Now, Satan, he just comes and he just sits down and folds his hands on his lap and just watches things. And, oh, isn't this interesting? No, he has a plan. He has activities. He has a ministry, if you will, things he is doing right now. And one of many of his activities, this is the first one I have listed, is he's opposing God's plan for the ages, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And we're going to read that right through till 9. So back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And we're talking about the woman clothed, of course, is Israel, the nation of Israel. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, under her feet and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there any place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast but into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan's activity opposes God's plan for the ages. Whatever God does and plans, Satan hates it and does everything he can to oppose it. And he has been doing this for about 3 days? No, he's been doing this since he fell. Since he fell, he's been doing this. The second thing we see, he opposes God's people. 1 Peter 5:8, Zechariah 3:1, and 1 Corinthians 21:1. One of the reasons why the service of God is so difficult at times is that Satan is aggressively opposing God's people. He especially targets those who are leaders and who are zealous in the work of God. Another thing Satan does, he opposes, hinders, and seeks to corrupt the word of the gospel. According to Matthew 13:8, 19, and 39, Mark 4:15, and 1 Thessalonians 2:18. In Matthew 13:19, we see why the devil can snatch the truth from the heart of some sinners. It is because they do not go to the trouble to understand it and to seek it. Man is always responsible for what he does with the truth. It's always man's responsibility for what he does with the truth. He also can perform working miracles. Matthew 24:24, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, Revelations 13:11-15, and 16:14 of Revelations. We see this also in the Old Testament. The magicians who opposed Moses would do some miracles. Many people are deceived by thinking that miracles must be of God. He blinds men's minds to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Man is responsible for the truth that he hears. Jesus gives light to every man, light. John 1:9. And the Holy Spirit convicts men. John 16:8. But men are responsible to respond to the truth. The devil cannot blind men unless they refuse to believe. He cannot keep men from Christ if they want to come to him. It is only when they harden their hearts to the gospel and refuse to heed Christ's admonition to come to him for salvation that the devil can blind them. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 2:12. He can inflict disease and trouble under God's sovereign eye. Job 1:2, Luke 13:16, Luke 22:31, Acts 10:38, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 2 Corinthians 12:17, and 1 Timothy 1:20. The devil has the power to give sickness and much trouble to people, even to believers, but only as God allows it. Another thing Satan is continually doing is he's tempting men to sin. We see that to Eve in the garden, Genesis 3:1-5, he tempts Jesus in Matthew 4:1-11, Judas in John 13:2, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5:3, married couples in 1 Corinthians 7:5, young widows in 1 Timothy 5:15. Satan tempts men, but he cannot make them sin. James 1:13-14 says that men are tempted when they are drawn by their own lusts. It is apparent at that point that Satan enters and magnifies the temptation. We see this in the temptation in the Garden of Eden. It appears that Eve was already eyeing and pondering the tree that God had forbidden in Genesis 3. When the devil came along and began asking her evil questions to lead her along. Another thing Satan is busy doing today is he's controlling unsaved people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Luke 22, verse 3, John chapter 8, verse 44. According to the Bible, Satan literally controls the lives of the unsaved. Lost men think of themselves as free thinkers, as masters of their own fate. But in reality, they are puppets of the god of this world, who is Satan. He's empowering false religions and idolatry today still. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7, Deuteronomy 32, 17, Psalms 106, verse 37. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, 20, Revelation 9, 20. One of the devil's biggest works is false religion. Why do multitudes of otherwise rational people worship foolish idols and follow after strange false religions? Because there is a spiritual power behind these religions, a drawing power, and that power is from the devil. Another thing he does, he promotes false teachings. 1 Timothy 4, 1, 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 12 to 15. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4, and 12 to 15. 2 Timothy 2, 25, 26. Satan is the mastermind and power behind false teaching. That is why multitudes follow such things as Mormonism and Romanism. There is a spiritual power that draws them and holds them, and it is a satanic power. And one other thing he does, and this is where we might just sit for a few minutes here and think on this one. He accuses Christians. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Let's just read that there. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He does this continually. Praise God, though he cannot succeed at this because our sins were carried away by the blood of Calvary, by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another thing he's busy doing is destroying the lives of disobedient Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, Satan is allowed to destroy the lives of unrepentant sinner Christians who are put under the discipline of the church, or to make life so miserable for them that they will repent. Satan's power. Satan has power, but he is always under God's control. Job 1, verse 3, and Luke 22, verse 3. Satan can tempt me, but he cannot make me sin. Satan can hinder me, but he cannot stop me in the will of God. Satan can persecute and even cast me down, but he cannot destroy me. Satan can wish me evil and curse me, but cannot stop God's blessing. Let's go back to the top there. Satan can tempt me, but he cannot make me sin, according to James chapter 1, verse 14. And Satan can hinder me, but he cannot stop me in the will of God. If we compare 1 Thessalonians 2, 18 with Philippians 4, 13, we'll get that. And Satan can persecute and even cast me down, but he cannot destroy me. 2 Corinthians 4, 9. Satan can wish me evil and curse me, but he cannot stop God's blessing on me. And if we compare Ephesians 1:3 and Proverbs 2:26 for that one. sorry, Proverbs 26, 2. So we have success and control if we keep close to the Lord and call on Him to save us and protect us and watch over us. Now we learned here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So we know he has some subordinates, Satan. A third of the angels that were in heaven at that time were cast to the earth with Satan. The Bible indicates a large number of these angels followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He has a place that's been prepared. Let's look back again at Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And there appeared under the wonder in heaven, behold, a great white dragon, having seven heads and ten horns. Now we know that's Satan. How come that doesn't look like anything of the cute little guy with horns and a spiky tail that's red that, you know, we see portrayed as the devil? And he's kind of a cute figure, isn't he? This guy doesn't look very cute to me. Like, he's got seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. Like, he doesn't look that cute. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the devil stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So today we call these, angels demons or devils. They're not good people because they hang around with the Father. That's right. They're not good things. And let's see Satan's future. And according to verse 7 here in Revelation chapter 12, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent. He will be cast out of heaven. I don't know how many of you remember Brother Art Wilson. A few of you probably do, but I remember the picture he showed. He had a young fellow come up on stage, and he grabbed him behind his collar and under his belt on his pants, and just the vision of being cast, and the devil and his angels were cast out of heaven. And he will increase his activity during the Great Tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 12. And we'll read that. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and that dwell them, for woe unto the inhabitants of the earth of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath a short time. So he will increase his activity during the Great Tribulation. He will empower the Antichrist. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, and 9, and Revelation chapter 3. Let's just turn quick to Revelation chapter 3, since we're in the book. I didn't write a reference down here, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in verse 9, it just says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." He will empower the Antichrist. He will bring the nations together for the battle of Armageddon, according to Revelation chapter 16. We'll turn there. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world and gather them to the battle, that at the great day of the God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watcheth." We'll turn back to Revelation chapter 12. He will bring the nations together for the battle of Armageddon. He will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. He will be released to stir up one final rebellion, Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 9. He will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, he's not a very nice guy. Not somebody we want to hang around with. Not somebody we would like to be proud to admit we know. Because he's our enemy. But now we have to learn how to defeat our enemy. And there is a way to defeat our enemy. And these verses we're going to look up, so we're going to be busy in Scripture for a few minutes here. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Faith in Jesus Christ is the first thing we need to defeat Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." The second thing we need to defeat Satan is the blood of Christ. We need to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross and gave his blood for you and for me, for all mankind. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 5. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5. Verse 8 and 9 here. "Cast Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But for the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that which we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Resting steadfast in the faith in 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, we'll start. For we wrestle not, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Turn there, please. Matthew chapter 4. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 12, now that you're probably past that. Matthew 4, 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we use the word of God. That's how we can defeat Satan too. By using the word of God. That's what Jesus used here to withstand the temptation from the devil. And submitting to God and resisting the devil. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, it says here, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The key phrase there is, submit yourselves therefore to God. If we don't do that, we're not going to be able to defeat him. We need to submit ourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm not that good at submitting. I don't know how you are, but I'm not the best at that. My wife tells me I'm wrong quite frequently. That's because I am. But I don't like it. But it's hard to submit. But we need to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the last thing is, we need the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Second last thing, sorry. The power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, 4. Let's look there. 1 John 4, 4. We're close. ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is Jesus Christ than Satan. And we can have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit to overcome Satan. And the last thing is John chapter 8. Turn back to John. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's how we can continue in the word of God, knowing the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So how well do you know your enemy? He's got more power than we thought, I think, sometimes. And he's definitely more evil than what the Hollywood picture likes to tell us of his little horn and horns and his little spiked tail and as we've seen in the cartoons and whatnot. But he's real, and he hates us, and he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the nation of Israel. He wants to destroy anything to do with God and his plans. So now that you know your enemy, you know how to fight him, march on. Let's get into the battle. Let's start fighting. Let's continue fighting. And let's see what we can do to damage Satan and his ministry on earth. Let's bow for a word of prayer.